Chapter 13. The Evrémonde Brothers. December 1767. I, Alexandre Manette, am writing this paper secretly in my cell in the Bastille. I will hide it in the wall of the fireplace, in a place I have been slowly preparing for this purpose. Perhaps one day someone will find it and pity me. I have been here 10 years, and I have given up hope. I fear that I will go mad, but my memory of the events of 10 years ago is clear, and what I am going to write is the truth. One night in December 1757, I was walking in a quiet street in Paris when a carriage came up behind me very fast. It stopped, and two young gentlemen, about my age, got out. They looked very alike, and both were carrying guns. I was sure the men were brothers. They asked if I was Dr. Manette, and ordered me to go with them to see a patient. We drove to a house in the country, and I was taken upstairs, where I found a very sick young woman tied to the bed with a scarf. It was an expensive scarf with the letter E stitched into it, which clearly belonged to an aristocrat. The woman was very beautiful and very young, no more than 20. But her eyes were wild, and she kept crying, "My husband, my father, my brother." I did what I could for her, although I realized there was little hope. I had sat by the bed for half an hour with the two brothers watching, when the older one said, "There's another patient." He led me to a room where a boy of about 17 lay on his back. He had a terrible wound in his chest, and I asked the brother what had happened. "He's a mad young dog," he replied. "My brother had to defend himself, and the boy fell upon my brother's sword." There was no pity or sadness in his voice. Then the boy slowly looked at me and said, "These aristocrats are very proud, doctor, but so are we poor dogs. They steal from us, beat us, kill us, but we're still proud. Have you seen my sister?" I told him that I had. "She was a good girl," he continued, "and she married a good young man, but this man's brother wanted her. These two brothers have destroyed our family. They rule our village and have robbed us of everything. They taxed us and made us work without pay until we were poorer than you can imagine. Then my sister's husband became sick, but the younger brother still made him work until he was on his knees and he died. Then the brother took my sister for himself. When my father heard, his heart failed, and he also died. I have another younger sister who I took away from this place so that the evil brother could never find her. Then I came here last night with a sword to find him. We fought, and he wounded me." The boy asked me to lift him up. He looked at the older brother and said, "Marquis, one day you will be judged for the terrible things you've done, and your brother, the most evil of them all, will be judged for the things he has done too. I mark this cross of blood upon him." The boy put his hand to the wound in his chest and drew a cross in the air with his finger. As his finger dropped, the boy dropped too, and I laid him down dead. When I returned to his sister, She was no better. She kept on with her cry, "My husband, my father, my brother." The days passed, and she grew weaker and weaker. The older brother, the Marquis, told me one day that I was never to speak to anyone about what I had seen and heard. I replied that a doctor never discussed his patients with anyone, but I felt very anxious. A week later, the poor young woman died. The brothers were waiting in a room downstairs, impatient to ride away. The Marquis gave me a gold coin, but I laid it on the table and left. The next morning, I found the gold coin in a little box with my name on it outside my door. I did not tell even my wife what had happened, but I was uncertain what to do, and my anxiety grew. Then I decided to write privately to the minister, telling him about the two patients and where I had seen them. Late that night, a young woman who said she was the wife of the Marquis of Evrémonde, the older brother, came to see me. She was a good woman and unhappy in her marriage. She had learned the terrible story and was full of pity for the younger sister. She hoped I might be able to tell her where the sister lived so that she could help her, but I could tell her nothing. When I went out to her carriage with her, I saw a boy of about 2 or 3 inside. "My husband and his brother have treated this family cruelly. Before I die, I'll do everything I can to find the sister and show how sorry I am," the woman said, crying. "I want to give her what we have, and if I can't, then my son must find her. You will do this, won't you, little Charles?" she said, turning to the boy, and he bravely answered her, "Yes." I never saw her again. The next day, I wrote my letter to the minister and delivered it. That night, my young servant, Ernest Defarge, brought a man to my room who said I was needed urgently to visit a patient. There was a carriage waiting outside. As soon as we went out, a black scarf was pulled across my mouth and my arms were held back. The two brothers stepped towards me. The Marquis took my letter to the minister from his pocket and burned it in front of me. Then the carriage brought me here to the Bastille and my grave. If either of the brothers had ever in these 10 years given me news of my dear wife and her unborn child, I might be able to forgive them. But now I think of the mark of the red cross that the boy made. They must answer for what they have done. I, Alexandre Manette, denounce them, their children, and their children's children, to the end of time.